I want to say good morning. This is Jonathan Finlater. It is Sunday, the 14th of June, 2020. And I bring you a message again from my home during this current COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic is easing and the lockdown measures are easing. So that's a good sign. That's a good thing. But as always, as I always say, people are worried and concerned as to what this new normal that they're talking about is going to be. So in a moment, we're going to pray, but I just want to give you a background to my message this morning. Well, last week, I began a series and I entitled it The Gospel versus Racism, Part 1. So this is Part 2. And I believe this subject matter is poignant during this season. There's been a climax of racist thought. There's been a climax of racist behaviors. We're seeing it all around us. This racism is bubbling up. It's never gone. It's always been there, but it's starting to bubble up again. There has been an increased demand on fighting against injustices. There's been a lot of pain and anger in and within the black community. So before I bring my message and hoping to bring some clarity and some insight, let us pray and seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we are always grateful for each morning that we wake up. Each morning our eyes open. We're always grateful for the air we breathe. We're always grateful for our provisions, daily provisions. We want to take none of it for granted. We don't want to take our lives for granted either, Lord. We want to live for you. Each day should be lived out in your name and for your glory. And so, Lord, I ask that you will strengthen us this morning. Some of us have been in isolation for a very long time. Some of us have had to fight this COVID-19 virus. And so, Lord, I ask that you will now strengthen us all. We thank you that the lockdown measures are easing. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll be able to assimilate back into normality properly and easily. We don't want a second spike of this pandemic. And so, Lord, we ask that you are in this, you are in full control, that you are sovereign. Lord, I want to just particularly pray for Darnella Fraser. She's the girl that was filming the incident concerning George Floyd. 17-year-old girl. I can't think of the trauma or think about the trauma that she must be going through and feeling at this time. So I pray, Lord, that you extend your love and warmth to Darnella Fraser, who witnessed that event. I didn't know what that was going to do. It went viral and she wasn't aware at that time of how big this thing was going to be. I pray for her, Lord, that you will be with her and comfort her and remove that trauma that she's experiencing. Lord, as we progress during these times, and it's been very difficult for many people that I've spoken to about certain issues that are raising and coming up, issues of racism and so on. It's been very uncomfortable times for many people. Lord, we ask for your peace, for your sovereignty, and for your control to reign in our world, in our nation, in our country. Lord, we thank you that one day you will come back to wipe away all tears. You will come back for your people. May we be ready for you, Lord Jesus, in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. So let's get straight into this. In part one, I began by mentioning the deaths of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Sandra Bland, Eric Garner, and there's many more that I could have mentioned. Breonna Taylor, Tamir Rice, Mike Brown, and Trayvon Martin. Now, the reason why I mention these black names, these black people, is because I want there to be an understanding that there's the anger coming from the black community is not based off one event. It's not just on George Floyd and the death of George Floyd. It is because there's been a whole string of events. It's not because of one single event, but it's because there's been horrific events of brutal killings and police brutality. It's not based off of one event. Unfortunately, racism not only is in America. It's not just an American problem. It's all over. And my purpose was to create an awareness. So now in part one, I gave some reasons, or should I say definitions, for racism. I'll give you one right now. Reverend David Haslam, who was engaged in the field of racial equality, he says this about racism. He says, it is a spurious belief that there exists distinct human races which are superior and inferior to each other. Spurious meaning invalid, false. False beliefs that there are distinct human races, one superior to each other. In part one, I stated that race did not exist at one point, but was constructed for a reason. Race is a construct. So let's look at that, because I didn't unpack that last week. Going back, the earth was filled with people of ethnic groups. The land that they were on was associated with ethnicity. So on the land of England, you had the ethnicity was Anglo and Saxon. You had the land of Greece, the ethnicity was, of course, Greeks. You had the land of New Zealand, the ethnicity was the Maoris. Now, because some countries only had one ethnic group living on them, what would then happen was the nationality was included to the ethnicity. That probably should have never happened, but maybe it made things a bit easier to classify. So the country that you were a part of as a citizen then became part of your ethnicity. Let me give you an example. A person from Spain, their ethnicity would have been Basque, Iberian, or Celt. But then when nationality was included, we then called the people Spanish. And so Spanish doesn't give us a proper and clear indication as to the people that were living there and their ethnicity. We call black people in America African Americans. But African Americans is not a race. And the American part of African American is a nationality. But not all Africans who come to America can call themselves African American. Because especially those on the north part of Africa, Morocco and Algeria and those parts, they cannot call themselves African Americans, although they are African. So it gets a little bit confusing here. So basically what I'm saying is we were divided by ethnicity. Race did not exist. It is a construct. We were divided by ethnicity. But I want to go back even further. Before we were actually divided by ethnicities, in the different lands, the Bible tells us that we were actually divided by languages. Languages. If you look at the narrative of the Tower of Babel, we find that in Genesis chapter 11. The people were actually one people group, the Bible tells us. This is post-flood, so after the flood. One people group, we're told that they spoke one language and they had one speech. Okay, so one language, one speech, meaning they didn't have any different dialects or accents. One language, one speech. And the people, what did they do? They rebelled against God and they built a tower. It wasn't just some sort of tall tower that we see in the images. It was like an empire that they were building. And this was led by Nimrod. Now, the punishment from God was to confuse their communication. God could see that as they had one language, one speech, it was easy for them to sin, basically. It was easy for them to rebel against God. So part of the punishment was for God, he'd confused their languages. And this is what caused one people group now, who had one language, one speech, to disperse. So in actuality, ethnicities came from that. Skin tones and certain physical features formed from that and adapted as people were dispersed in different lands, different countries, different nations. So my point is that we were dispersed from one people group. Again, race did not exist. So now let's come to the topic of race. Race has no scientific or biological truth to undergird it. Race is actually a social political construct. It is created and made up. It is a created and made up classification. Race was made to justify, or was created to justify, a class system. It was made to create superiority and inferiority within the human race. One race, human race, and this race business, it created a superiority and inferiority within it, a class system. The purpose was namely to empower a people group over another people group. And to do that, you have to oppress them. You have to demoralize them. You make them lesser, like animals and so on. Let's look at that as an example. We see this with Hitler, Adolf Hitler. He used the concept of race, so the idea of race, the concept of it, to promote the idea that his race, which was the Aryan race, was pure and more superior than other races. That concept led him to go further, so he acted upon that concept, took it further, and then also, as we know, he tried to exterminate the Jews. Let's look at this again. We see this concerning the transatlantic slave trade. The concept, once again, of race, the idea of it, for whites meant that blacks were inferior. They acted upon it. They acted upon that ideology, the idea of it. And they did that by oppressing black people and making them slaves, slave labor. So it was an ideology which turned into an action. I said before that racism is discrimination acted upon. The concept of race is an ideology. It was constructed and made up to justify oppressing a people based on their skin tone and ethnicity. So that's why it was constructed. So we shouldn't be using the word races, and we are different races. It was used and constructed to oppress and to put people into a different class systems. So now let's move to the biblical perspective. In part one, I stated, first of all, that racism is a sin. That needs to be our starting point, and it offends God. And the point of this is to understand that if it angers me, which it does when it comes up in conversation and when we talk about it, it goes right to the core and root of me and to many people. But if it angers us, if it angers me, then it certainly angers God if it is a sin. I also mentioned that we all have been made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We are image bearers of God. And so this is key. This is important, because if that's true, then we have no justification to treat other people wrongly. This is the basis for why I'm supposed to treat you well, because you've been created and you've been made in God's image. You are of the same value as me. And this is the basis. This is the way we are to treat each other. That is the biblical, godly, and kingdom perspective that we're all to have. We've been made in God's image, Genesis 1, 27. That's our starting point. That is the origin of humankind. Now, to build on part one, I want to add that we also see this in Genesis. In Genesis, you see no races. There's no different races. And this is proof that this idea of race is a construct. It's a constructed idea. Adam and Eve were made up of what? One race, the human race. We are all from one race, the human race, all of us. Adam and Eve are our ancestors. We are descendants of Adam, one race. I like what it says here in Acts chapter 17, verses 26. This is from the New International Version. It says, "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." We've come from one man who made all nations for us to inhabit the whole earth. We are all one race, one blood, and all made in the image of God. Now that deserves a hallelujah and an amen. And now I would like to make an observation. Now this is coming from the black community, this particular point here. People have reminded me that slave masters used the Bible to justify enslaving black people. I've been reminded of this many times in an attack against Christianity. And that is true. But we need to add the word wrongly to the equation. The Bible has been wrongly used, wrongly justified for slavery. Wrongly. Now, one thing I do not hear mentioned is that slave masters did not want their black slaves to be educated. They didn't want them to read, and especially the Bible. And so now you need to sit down and think as to why. Why would you stop your slaves from reading and being educated? And why would you particularly stop them from reading the Bible? Think about it. If the Bible was used by slave masters to justify slavery, to keep them, you know, submissive and obedient, then why was that same Bible then not shown to them to say, look, here it is. You are supposed to be submissive. It's written right here. Why hasn't that been shown to them? Why has it been kept from them? If I have something that is true and I'm using it on you, I would show it to you. I would say, here it is. So why didn't then the slave masters allow the slaves to read the Bible and let them know that, yes, you are supposed to be slaves? It's simple. The answer is simple when you think about it logically. They knew that if their black slaves read and understood the Bible, then the black slaves would use the same Bible to justify their freedom and their liberty. They knew that. The Bible doesn't justify slavery at all. The Bible justifies freedom, liberty. From keeping the Bible away from the black slaves, then the black slaves couldn't read that we've been made in God's image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. They would not understand that, hold on, you're the same as me. We are one blood, one race, the same thing I've just been talking about. And we're not supposed to be slaves. So that would have been something that they would have read, the black slaves. And also, God freeing the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. God heard their cry, the Bible tells us. And he delivered them. God delivered them from their slavery. Isn't that a message that you don't want your slaves to hear? Surely. So no, that's not true. The Bible was, yes, wrongly used to justify slavery, but it was kept away from them for a reason. And that is the narrative that we need to speak about. Think about it this way as well. This is what caused the Reformation. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, the Reformation in the 16th century. What was that all about? Martin Luther knew that if the people, the parishioners, read the Bible for themselves rather than listening to their priest reading it in Latin, he knew that they would understand that salvation is free. It's a free gift. You don't have to pay money, purgatory and indulgences to be saved. It is not salvation plus works. Salvation is free. It's based on what God has done, not on what we can do. Martin Luther knew that. That's what caused a lot of the issue in the Reformation. So in the same way, if you keep people from knowing the truth of God's word, then yes, you can wrongly use it to justify all sorts of rubbish and all sorts of nonsense. When you take scripture, when you take verses out of its proper context, then you can justify all sorts of nonsense and rubbish. But it's not true. And so we as pastors and church leaders, preachers, speakers, we need to be rightly dividing God's word, exegeting it, using hermeneutics, and interpreting God's word properly and truthfully. And also that's another key thing as well. Parishioners, congregations, you need to also study your Bible and see what God is saying to you. I was invited into a Zoom meeting and conversation last week, and this was including both white and black guests talking about recent incidences, George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, racism, and so on. Hurtful experiences were shared. Anger was expressed. Tears were shed. Biblical and practical ideas were brought forwards. But when all was said and done, at the end of it, we concluded on one thing, that racism is a horrible and terrible pandemic, and racism is a sin. There may be ignorance, there may be a lack of knowledge, there may be a lack of education, there may be bitterness. All these things add to why people behave racist. All these things add to why the ideology of racism has spread. But when you strip it all back down to the core of what it really is, it is sin. And I only know, as I put on my Facebook post, I only know one cure for sin, that's Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross for you and I. And this now leads me comfortably to the gospel. The gospel. As I said in part one, racism is bad news. It is out there. And it's a bit silly when people try to deny it. I've heard people deny it and act like it doesn't exist. It exists and it's there. But Christ himself brings good news. He brings good news. I want us to be reminded that the gospel is active. And I think this is important also. The gospel is active. Some people think you just have to pray it away. But you do have to be active as well. So when I talk about the gospel, I'm not just saying that we stay passive. No, I am saying that we pray. Yes, we do. Of course we do. And we are to be active. We don't just do nothing. I like what someone said. I don't know who said it, but I've heard many people say it. But to be not racist, you don't just be not racist. You have to be anti-racist. Meaning it's not just good to be passive and say I'm not racist or I don't use the N-word or anything like that. You actually have to be anti-racist, meaning you have to stand up against it and call it out when you see it. But what I'm saying is the gospel is active, both spiritually and physically. If you want to take an exam, you pray about it. But you don't just pray about it, you have to revise. You have to do something active and revise for it and prepare for it. If you want a job, you pray about it. You seek God on it. Of course you do. And that, by the way, is the priority. Always go to God first and seek God first on these matters. But then you've also got to get your CV out, your resume. You've got to sit job interviews and so on. And you have to prepare actively for those things. So what I'm saying is when we talk about the gospel, we're not just talking about praying. There is an active element to it. The problem also is that when we have become so active, we forget the praying part too. And then we don't balance that out. The gospel carries with it a need for us to stand against injustice, to advocate for the oppressed and the marginalized and the downtrodden. We are to stand for these people, the hurting, the poor, the impoverished. You cannot bring a gospel of good news, the gospel is good news, but you cannot bring a gospel of good news to people where there's no good news in it. You know, it doesn't make sense. The good news has to be good news, even for people's practical needs. Remember this, Christians must recognize that righteousness and justice go hand in hand. Someone said they're like Siamese twins, they're joined together at the hip. Righteousness, what is right, and justice, they go hand in hand. And God loves both of those things. The good news is that we are transformed by it. And the transformation needs to start in our hearts and in our minds. So transformation is a heart issue. We all need to be transformed. And it starts with the heart. That is what repentance is. Repentance is seeing the wrong way you're going and going, then turning the right way. And the right way is God's way. And the thing is this, you can change laws and legislation, but it doesn't mean that your heart is changed. The heart has to be changed when we're dealing with such topics like racism. Repentance, as I said, is a change of mind. The mind has to change. Racism is an ideology, so your mind has to change. It is turning, repentance is turning from the wrong way to God's way. So if you say sorry for being racist, that's not enough. It's not enough. There has to be repentance, a change of mind. You have to not want that ideology anymore. You have to be against that particular ideology. That is repentance. That's when you're truly sorry. The good news is that although we have sinned, all of us, every single one of us, and although we've angered God and we are bound for hell, God made a way out for us. We are bound for hell, every single one of us, but God has made a way for us. God's own Son was the sacrifice for you and me. We should have been the ones dying on that cross because the Bible reminds us the wages of sin is death. Jesus took the punishment for us. He legally removed the debt that we couldn't pay. He legally removed it. Jesus did that for us. That is the good news, ladies and gentlemen. That is the good news. And by putting our faith, that's our trust in Jesus Christ, that means in his death, and that means in his resurrection, we can be forgiven, we can be saved, and given that beautiful gift of everlasting and eternal life. But we have to put our trust in Jesus' death and in his resurrection. You can't just know it happened. You have to believe it and put your trust in it. And so I urge you today, if you are listening, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Tomorrow is not promised. Life is but a vapor. It's not promised. One thing is sure for all of us, we will die. If Christ doesn't come before then. And are we ready? Are we living our lives in readiness for Christ? Are we living holy lives set apart for Jesus Christ? We can't fight these things all on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us. I'm reminded of that as we just celebrated Pentecost Sunday not too long ago. I'm reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon those apostles. We need it too. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And then they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. May we be empowered by God's Spirit. And so I would like to say thank you for listening to my Gospel versus Racism Part 2. I think I might need to do a Part 3 because there's so many things I don't cover because I'm trying to keep it condensed and concise. But thank you for listening. And I really do pray that we can get through some of this pain and some of this hurt that we are experiencing right now. I'm speaking to so many people, ministers and so on in the black community who are really hurting with what's going on right now. And we need a lot of peace and healing. So let us now close with the grace, with the benediction. Again, if I was at church, we'd be holding hands or turning and facing each other as we say this grace together, the benediction. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. God bless you. And once again, thank you for listening. Please listen for the Gospel versus Racism, Part 3. Amen.